Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Everybody, we are back. It is Inside Boxing Live presented by PPV.com. It is Dan Canobio. It is world champion Chris Algieri. And I want to start off the show with an apology. I'm very sorry. We haven't had a show in a week. Chris was traveling the first time, came back a little under the weather, but he still wanted to do the show. And then last episode in the history of this storied podcast, 300 plus episodes, 7 plus years, I lost the audio was horrible. The file was like corrupt. I've never had that happen to me. So that past episode, Chris, that we did on Monday will never be heard. It's in the ether.
Be the lost tapes.
The lost tapes. So if you want to know about Oshaki Foster and you want to know about Floyd Schofield, they looked okay. And that's to summarize it all up. That was a mess. So I'm sorry, but from here on out, we'll be in your lives twice a week to end the year. Big things on the horizon, Chris. A lot of big news and a lot of notes and a lot of big fights. How are you?
I'm good. I felt weird not having a show out there for so long. It's getting to the point where it's not even just like routine. It's like an addiction. It's like, gotta get out there. We gotta put out content. It's tough, exactly. Man. The content machine never ends.
It's weird because you take 1 week off, you take one episode off, which I haven't done in 7 years. You feel like the world is off. You feel like,
yeah.
You feel like something, the equilibrium is off, kind of like a shot behind the ear. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Have you been hit behind the ear?
I have. Sometimes even the forehead can hit. You get hit with a good shot in the forehead, you can lose your legs. I've had that happen too.
Yeah. Someone was tweeting about Spence the other day, and they said, "Can buzz cut Spence? Was there anyone more powerful?" And it was your fight between you and Spence.
I mean, when he was, I feel like one of the best versions of him was me and when he fought Kell Brook. That was the two best versions.
2016.
Yeah, we ever saw. After that, he started getting hit a lot more. He was willing to trade with guys much more. He boxed with us, but
he started drinking a lot.
Yeah, and then he got real fast cars. That wasn't a good combination.
More money, more problems. We could see him back against Sebastian Fundora. I heard some things about early next year, what we're going to be getting. February 1st in the rumor mill is potentially Benavidez Morel, which will be its own pay-per-view. It's not going to be this Tank doubleheader. Tank could be fighting in March, and he could be fighting somewhere close to where I am right now in New York City. This is just some rumors that I've been hearing from people in the know.
It was too much. It was too much to think they would be on the same card, right?
That would have been
sweet.
That's something in boxing that we're seeing often. It's like, yeah, it would be awesome to have that offering for fans, but if you can make two events out of it, then you can just.
Dude, don't think like a promoter. Just think like a fan.
I'm not. I'm just.
I want to get my money worth on my pay per view. You know, I want my.
I hear you. I'm just telling you how it all works. Telling you how the sausage gets made. It's not pretty, but I know how these promoters think, and they want to maximize as many events as they can. So next year, it's going to be all spread out. Tank three times, maybe. Tank Davis wants to fight three times in 2025.
Well, I heard that he's like part of his like current agreement is like he needs to stay busy. And that's it's becoming very difficult. First of all, he tried to fight everybody. We talked about it. And now, you know, you got to pull up 30 pounders, which I don't hate this fight. I brought it up a couple times. It's not the guy we want, but listen, the guy you want is what guys we want don't want to fight him. So,
well, who knows if it's going to be Lamont Roach? If Tank doesn't fight till March, like it's just one rumor I've heard. Like, who knows if it's Lamont Roach? That's a long
time. That's a good point.
Now it's almost November, December, January, February. That's 4 months. You can fight like Lomachenko.
Lamont has he's got to defend that title.
Yeah, I mean, that as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of things going on. with PBC right now and all that. So let's get into it. Let's get into the what we usually do here every single week. Donald Trump is your new president of the United States. We're going to break it all down. We're going to tell you what it means. No, that's not what we're going to do here.
Wrong show, guys. There's plenty of those podcasts out there. We ain't it.
Donald Trump did win the presidency. It is November 6th. It is the day after Election Day. As we record this, the sun did come up. We still have air in our lungs. I don't know if you're a Trump guy or not. I'm not talking to you, Chris. I'm just talking to everyone out there. If you're a Trump person, you're a Kamala person, you're a Jill Stein person, whatever out there. I just hope that this country can continue to flourish. And that's my two cents on this whole thing.
There's Jill Stein people out there?
Yeah, not as many. I think there was years past with that third party.
No shit.
Yeah,
not as many.
There were years past where that third party really put a dent in the two party system.
We're past that. We are a very partisan nation now.
Will we see Donald Trump at a boxing event? Doubtful. Will we see him at a UFC event? Very much probable. Because Dana White was on the stage with him as Donald Trump accepted his nominee, whatever it is, accepted him being president.
Yeah, he was at the RNC. He was there for the inauguration, or not the inauguration, but like the closing statements. But I see what you did there, Dan. You brought the political talk back into boxing with Donald
Always.
Trump and fight sports. Very good.
Always.
And then, now let's move past that shit because I'm tired of hearing about it.
I am tired of hearing about it. That's not why people come to this show. They come for an escape from reality, escape from politics, and escape from their families, escape from their
boxing girlfriends. Has enough politics. We don't need to talk about the other politics.
It does. Like, who would be the what boxing personality out there would make the best president? Can't be Eddie Hearn because he's not even a citizen.
Bob Arum.
He's too old, but he's not.
he's sharper than Joe Biden was. Well, Joe Biden's still president, so he's literally still president. So
Oscar did say he wanted to run. He told me, and it made it to TMZ. He told me that he wants to run for mayor of Las Vegas.
It's Vegas is a wild place. He could get that.
I interviewed him while at John Boy, and I don't know how he got on that topic, but he said, I want to be the mayor of Las Vegas, and TMZ picked it up, and boom, we're making headlines. That's just the beauty of Oscar De La Hoya interviews. You never know what that guy's going to say. But
Frank Arum, Warren in politics. Obviously not here because he's not from here, but I could see him.
Prime Minister?
Yeah.
Who else? Arum.
Not Al Heyman.
Al Heyman's way too behind the scenes.
Yeah.
How about Dan Canobio?
Well, you're not a promoter, Dan.
No, I'm not, but I am in the business.
I have promoted a show, so technically I could.
I was there. I was on the call. I remember that.
Yeah, you were.
I thought about getting into promotion. Who knows? And who knows where this sport will take me in the next 10 years. But as for now, we are hosting a podcast, and as for now, we are heading out to big fights. Let's get into the news and notes. There's a lot of big fights this weekend that we will break down as well, but there are some news and there are some notes. Biggest headline that came across the wire was Naoya Inoue has signed a sponsorship deal with Riyadh Season. It is valued at around $15 to $20 million. Does not require Inoue to fight in Saudi Arabia, but I think we all know that he eventually will. It is a sponsorship deal, so therefore he'll do commercials. He'll be an ambassador. There's a picture of him with a Riyadh t-shirt on, shaking hands with Turki Al-Shalik. What does this mean in the long run? To me, it means I think Inoue will end up fighting in Saudi Arabia. Will it be next? Probably not. That Sam Goodman fight is locked in to Tokyo. But from here on out, the Junto Nakatani fight, does that end up in Saudi Arabia? There's some big fights that we can't even think about with Inoue. Maybe at 130, does that end up in Saudi Arabia? An interesting move, but as we've seen with this Riyadh Season, it starts off with the handshake, starts off with the photo op, starts off with a sponsorship deal. Next thing you know, he's fighting in Riyadh.
Starts off with a bag of money. I don't know. I don't think we're gonna see Inoue in Saudi. I think
at all.
Way too. No, I think it's just way. Listen, he'll be at events, sure. I don't think he fights there. You know, this guy puts he put 55,000 in the Tokyo Dome. He makes the move over to the U.S. which is something that is on the docket. There's not going to be room for Saudi. And I don't put Nakatani and in a way in Saudi. I mean, come on, man. Put that in the Tokyo Dome. That needs to be in the Tokyo Dome. Or it needs to be in like Dodger Stadium in LA. You know, you need something massive for that.
You know, Inoue was one of the three guys that I believe, or four guys, three guys that I believe did not need Riyadh season because he has his own economy. That's him, that's Canelo Alvarez, and that is Tank Davis. Canelo Alvarez is playing hardball with Turkey Özyurek. So is Tank Davis. He's very much aligned with PBC. PBC has not dipped their toes into the Riyadh season partnership at all. So, yeah, I kind of agree to a certain extent. But then, you know, $15, $20 million. And I see that this story made it very clear that it does not require him to fight there. But, you know,
$15, $20 million is allegedly.
Well, you think it could be less?
I have an inside source. It is
okay. So if you, it was
considerably
half of that,
less,
it's still a lot.
If it was 1/15 of that, you're just getting free money. Well, to wear a T-shirt, you know, like, come on, what are we doing? Like, yeah, just to take a posts? Photo. Yeah.
I hope it doesn't mean that, because there are some things that need to just stay how they are. Like, there are some things about like boxing that we've seen over the last couple of months where it's just like, oh, okay, you know, a lot of these fights are going to Saudi and a lot of these promoters are now working together, which is a good thing, but, you know, could be looked at as something that you be careful what you wish for. Like, Inoue belongs fighting at Saudi in, let me say that again, Inoue belongs fighting in Japan. If he's not going to be fighting in the U.S., in Vegas, then he needs to be staying in Japan and being that guy over there to help bring boxing to another whole nother level, which he already has been doing. Now, Top Rank has this plan that they drew out. He's going to fight Sam Goodman December 24th in a smaller arena in Tokyo. That is very clear. Will Inoue be, you know, re-add up? Will he be wearing a T-shirt? Will we have the signs all over there? That remains to be seen. But he's going to be fighting Goodman December 24th in Saudi. Now, from here, after that, it's up for grabs, because he was supposed to come to the U.S. and fight a significant opponent in Vegas. This is what Bob Arum laid out. Is that up in the air now? Is that now going to be moving to Saudi Arabia? Is this Nakatani fight going to be moving to Saudi Arabia? I mean, Nakatani in a way in Saudi, which, I mean, yeah, we'll still get the fight, and it's one of the best fights you can make in boxing. But if you can get 50,000 at the Tokyo Dome, and then maybe put a Riyadh sponsored thing like they did in Wembley, and then that right there is a win. But I will push back a little bit, Chris, and I do think we see Inoue fight at some point in Saudi. I just hope it's not the Nakatani fight.
Yeah, I really hope not. Guys, crowds matter. Crowds matter. There's a reason Wembley is why, you know, where those these big massive fights happen. Tokyo, crowds matter. You know, when you make them in those quiet rooms, it becomes like, it's just like clinical. Like, it's like you're watching a fight in a hospital. Like, you don't want to cheer. There's no booze. It's just you need a fight like that to be in an arena where people can really get loud and rowdy, and the passion. It affects the fights. I'm telling you, it affects the fighters. We saw this in the pandemic. You saw listless performances from guys who normally are not that way, because there's no crowd. You need crowd exposure. You need crowd experience. You need the passion.
Yeah, and it's not like, you know, Beterbiev Bivol needed Riyadh and needed Saudi to be made. Usyk,
well, those
Fury,
guys are two robots. They didn't need crowd.
Yeah, but you know what I mean, like the business side of it. They needed someone to underwrite it, and that was Saudi Arabia. Like, Fury Usyk probably needed Riyadh season. It probably could have went off at Wembley, but it certainly helped to throw some extra millions at both guys to make that, to expedite the process. Those fights needed Riyadh. I don't think in a way Nakatani needs that.
No, I agree.
Doesn't. Maybe Inoue versus Nick Ball, who just re-upped with...
Inoue doesn't need Riyadh. Like, yeah, it's cool that he's getting an extra bag. He doesn't need it. Like, he's getting all the fights anyway. And that's the thing with the smaller weight classes. And when you are the guy who has his own orbit, it's similar to Canelo, except that Inoue wants all the smoke. He's not avoiding the best contenders the way that Canelo does. He wants to fight everybody.
Ooh, shots fired.
And that's why the fights are being made.
All right, something to keep an eye on. Inoue with this deal with Riyadh season, it will play out right in front of our eyes. Turkey Özyurek just posted something before we recorded this podcast about Ring Magazine. So I'm pretty sure he just bought Ring Magazine. I don't know what that exactly means. I just got word he just bought me. I'm now property of Riyadh season. No, not yet.
Will never happen, guys. Will never happen. We will hold out to be true media. We are not to be bought.
That's I'm not speak. Don't listen to Chris. You can hit me up directly.
Dan can be bought.
We shall see. Let's go to the heavyweight division. Joseph Parker is the front runner to fight Daniel Dubois on February 22nd. I really like this. Anthony Joshua doesn't seem like he's ready for the rematch. I think he's waiting out the Fury-Usyk fight. I think he's waiting out Fury. We saw Eddie Hearn be pretty vocal about that side of it. So Joseph Parker, who was the forgotten about man in the heavyweight division, who has wins over Deontay Wilder and Zhilhai Zhang just last year, is now putting himself into the mix to get a title shot. He's not ranked with the IBF Parker, but I think the IBF will allow it. And I think we get a really good fight on February 22nd between Joseph Parker and Daniel Dubois. I love this fight.
I love this fight as well. I think Parker deserves it. He's been really on a tear as of late. I think he's on a 4 or 5 fight win streak, two of which is Wilder and Zhang, two of the biggest punchers and most dangerous guys in the sport, two highly avoided guys. This is like a feel-good story almost, because Joe Parker, it's been a long road. He's a former world champion. I think we forget that. You know, he went 12 rounds with Anthony Joshua. This guy has been around for a really long time, even though he's still young. I think he's like 32 or 33, which for heavyweights is pretty young. But he's done a lot. He's already been a world champion. This is his road back to getting a title shot. And listen, not for nothing, he might win. He is a very, very tricky guy and has been looking really spectacular lately. He's showing a lot of versatility with the guys that he's fighting. He keeps fighting big punchers, which Dubois is. This will be his third big knockout puncher in a row. So the guy has his reps in on how to fight big punchers and not get hit and not get cleaned out. He went 12 with Anthony Joshua, one of the best punchers in the game, especially at that time. So listen, this is a dangerous fight. This is a banana peel for Dubois for his first defense.
Yeah, I like some of the quotes that I saw from this Boxing Scene article with some sources in there. What you have seen with the matchmaking at Riyadh season is that it will be one of the best, if not the best available candidate. Parker isn't rated because he has another shot with the WBO, but if you made the fight, they would take that into consideration. I like it a lot. And Parker winning would not shock me because he's so technically sound and he has big fight experience and everything
tricky,
that you
man.
Just said.
Very tricky.
Very tricky. And also just in the spirit of Riyadh season, in the spirit of the heavyweight division lately, would you really be shocked
upsets.
If Joseph Parker beat Daniel Dubois?
Not at all. Depending on that line, I might be betting that fight.
Right. And then all of a sudden, the heavyweight division is flipped upside down again. Speaking of the heavyweight division, or before we get into that, this February 22nd is the next big Riyadh season card that isn't Fury Usyk. That's December 21st or 20 something, and then they're taking a little break, and then it's February 22nd. But rumored on that card is Hamzat Shiraz could potentially be fighting Janibek.
Shiraz,
they said, is fighting
fight.
Some. We'll see. Shiraz is fighting for some piece of the middleweight crown. They said it could be Janibek, could be Carlos Adames. I don't know who the other champions are.
Either one could fight. I like the fight.
Yes. Eubank versus Ben potentially could be on February 22nd. Conor Ben was just cleared by the NADP. He self-exonerated himself. I don't know. I looked a little bit into it, but apparently he's all good to go. Will that fight end up on a Saudi card? Or if Ben is completely cleared, will they wait and do that in the UK, which remains to be seen? And Shakur Stevenson says he's coming back in February, potentially against Cepeda. Do all these fights end up on February 22nd? I don't know, because that would be like probably the best card they've ever put together.
Cepeda and Shakur, I don't think it's going to happen. I'd be really surprised if Shakur comes off of a hand injury surgery and goes right into a fight with a guy like Cepeda, who's going to be there. And you're going to have to hit him hard to keep him off you, and he's going to be right there face forward. That would surprise me. Not out of, not impossible, but very surprising. And then Ben and Eubank, we'll see. I mean, it seems that Ben seems to be snake bitten about getting these fights, and depending on where they're going to be, and who knows if there's going to be some kind of appeal, because they're seeing that a lot.
Oh yeah, because they're going to appeal it. UCAV is appealing it.
Yeah, these governing bodies are they've really got a crosshairs on him. They're going to appeal it. So we're going to see. So that'll probably end up in Saudi if it ends up happening. But hey, listen, Canelo might pick Eubank for May, and then that pulls Eubank out of that situation. What were the other fights you mentioned?
Shiraz versus Janibek.
I like either one of those. I think I'd rather. I don't know. The just way Jennifer's been looking, I think Shiraz wins.
Yeah, definitely. Eddie Reynoso pretty much squashed Eubank. Fight ever happened. He said, we tried. They wasted our time. We will never revisit that.
Listen, Canelo said a lot of things.
I know.
Never fighting a Mexican again.
I'm just doing my due diligence here.
And the opportunity's there. Yeah, I mean,
one thing with Ben, though, I think, is he tweeted this whole long thing, how it was the most harrowing 2 years of his life and blah, 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 blah. It's like, dude, we have odds. Like, you were ferocious for 2 years.
There's the victim mentality is not taken on anymore. Like, nobody cares.
But my point is, like, where did your power go? Like, why are you struggling with Peter Dobson? Like, what happened, dude? What happened? Like, we have eyes. Like, we can see it. You're still in your physical prime. Is he even 30 yet?
No. It came out of nowhere and disappeared as soon as he got caught. So it's like, you know, it's like, you're not making any kind of distinctions. You're just like, okay, we'll see it, dude. It's not like.
Well, it's like whatever at this point. It's like, fight Eubank, get on with it. Like, we just stop hanging this over our head. Like, I'll watch. Of course, I'll watch everything. But just get on with it. Back to the heavyweight division. So, if Parker fights Dubois February 22nd, what does this mean for the rest of the division? We got Fury and Usyk tangled up December 21st. Joshua, I think, is in a holding pattern right now. I think Joshua, obviously, off a really bad loss to Dubois. But you heard what Hearn said about him potentially fighting Fury. Like, if Fury beats Usyk, I would not be shocked if we get Fury Joshua and they just say, screw it. We're going to shoehorn this in. We have to make this fight. Everyone just has to make their money, and we just have to keep this cash cow of Anthony Joshua going. So I could see that happening. But what
I think
does
that it happens even if he loses. If Fury loses, I think, because they're both coming off losses. So what? They make the fight. I think either way, I think you're right, Dan. I think he wins. If Fury beats Usyk, he skips over Usyk rubber match and goes right to Joshua, and they grab the bag. If he loses, I still think he goes to Joshua.
If Fury loses, obviously the percentage of it goes down because who knows with Fury? Like, who knows if he'll bounce back? Who knows if he'll still want it? He'll make over $100 million in this two fights with Usyk, which is just nuts. So what does that mean for, like, Zhang? What does that mean for Bacoli? They should be fighting each other. What does it mean for Kaya Bell? Like, there's a lot of names out there. But, of course, with the heavyweight division, it's so top-heavy. And these are some huge names we're talking about at the top.
They could be made because of Riyadh. They could be. Yeah, Riyadh has been doing so great with the heavyweights. They're making these fights. I think they can still be made. I like the Bacoli Zhang idea.
Yeah, well, I would love that fight. I mean, that's clear.
It makes sense.
Right, and there's other guys in the heavyweight division too that are waiting in the wings. That's pretty much the news for this news and notes for this week. Before we get into our previews, let's get into our previews. Biggest fight of the weekend in terms of importance, I don't know if it's gonna be the most competitive, is Boots Ennis versus Karen Chukwuemeka, the rematch, the most pointless rematch in the history of rematches. Like, this is like a technical error. This is a clerical error between the IBF and a horrible division that is welterweight. It is an absolute joke that this fight is happening again.
Necessarily think the division's horrible. It's definitely a bit of a wasteland, but
the decisions that were made that led to this is what I'm pissed off about. Brian Norman,
this fight's bad.
Brian Norman not stepping up to the table,
not stepping up and then getting hurt, you know, so he couldn't do defense anyway.
The other champions not wanting to fight Boots.
I mean, the Stanionis fight is probably my favorite, but Mario Barrios is, I'd like to see Ennis and Barrios. I definitely don't want to see this fight again. First one wasn't good, but if Boots goes out there, makes some adjustments and is able to build off the last fight and get the stoppage, that'll be some kind of statement. But otherwise, it's a pretty pointless fight.
That's why I will be tuned in. I will tune into every Boots fight because the guy is just that good. And we've been hearing about how he's going to be the next star. And now he's with Eddie Hearn. And, now he's going to get all these fights. And now he's fighting freaking Karen again. And how do we get here? We got here because Brian Norman asked for a little too much money. He ultimately got hurt. Like you said, the fight wouldn't have happened anyway. But this was supposed to be Boots Ennis versus Brian Norman. Oh, this was supposed to be Boots Ennis versus...
which is unification.
Exactly. Unification. That's why Boots Ennis is still at 147. That's why he's fighting Karen, because Karen is the IBF mandatory.
Right.
So it's either give up your IBF belt boots that you were handed because they stripped it from Crawford, or you're going to have to give it up again. And Boots was like, weighed his options. There's no one else to fight out there. He could maybe, you know, 8,000 to 9,000 fans in Philly again, put Bam on the undercard, and hopefully knock him out. Because I do believe what you just said, Chris. Like, I think he has to knock him out. I usually don't like to say things like that, but if he does get that knockout, it goes a long way. Because in that first fight, Karen just moved in there all over the ring, was slippery, was the first time Ennis went the distance. It was the first Karen fight. He's got a very tricky style, and it's a very not crowd-pleasing style at all. But if Boots gets the knockout...
But he's also not in there to win, which makes it very difficult to stop him.
I hate that. I hate when fighters are in there to survive, and that's Karen. In the first fight, Ennis outlanded Chukwuemeka 211 to 90. He threw 400 more punches, Ennis. He threw 170 more power shots. He landed three times more jabs. Like, it was nothing even remotely competitive about that fight. The only thing was it went the distance. And the only thing was Ennis got a little frustrated at times. And
yeah, this fight, what we're looking for here, what I'm looking for from, or what the boxing world is looking for, is that Ennis is, we're going to look for his maturity, for him to creatively break this man down. Stay focused, get the job done, get him out of there. Because otherwise, this is going to hurt him. It's going to hurt him. If he goes the distance again, he spends 24 rounds with this guy, it's going to hurt his brand. He's in a tough spot. He's got a guy who doesn't want to try and win, a guy who's going to be really hard to stop. And if he doesn't stop him, it's actually going to hurt him. So this is a really tough spot for Boots. Not a great situation to be in.
You talk about Boots' brand. I'm trying to still figure out what his brand is. I just, like, this is one of the most
frustrating. They're trying to build it, and this is not going to help it.
It's one of the most frustrating careers, the start of a career that I've seen in years, because he's got so much talent.
So much talent.
And there's a void right now where, you know, the stars of the sport are in their mid to late 30s, and this guy's 28, if that, 27, 28, Boots. He's got a new promoter. He doesn't have to worry about being frozen out of fights, doesn't have to worry about all that stuff, even though he still is getting frozen out of fights. But, like, he must be so frustrated that he has to fight this guy again and not be getting these big fights that I think he's in. Like, he's not getting that Crawford fight, and there's no one really at welterweight. He's going to go to 154. Like, when we do our show on Monday, we're going to be talking about a Boots victory, whether it's a knockout or a decision, and we're going to be talking about, is it time for Ennis to officially jump into the 154 waters, which are loaded with deep waters. I mean, that's what it really is.
It's a tough weight class, dude, even for Jaron.
But why is he, you know, like, what I mean? Like, there's nothing at 147. This fight that you're taking is an indictment of the division. Like, it just shows you how dysfunctional it is. So I think if he went to 154, fans would be really excited. And they also, like, wouldn't blame him at all, because there's nothing for you at welterweight.
Blame him? I think he'd be hailed as a hero. He's going up and challenging himself to, you know, to fight the biggest, baddest dudes in the world.
Just to, like, the IBF, too, is, like, being in the news a lot, right? They're stripping the biggest names. They're putting out mandatories that are absolutely abysmal. So Karen was the IBF, I don't know if it was the IBF before this, to get the shot at Boots originally. And since then, he's fought three times, and he has three wins, two by stoppage, over guys that I've never heard of.
Nondescript guys.
And that warrants another title shot. How? That gets you right back to number one.
Was it Robert Allen who fought Hopkins twice, and Hopkins beat him, and then the guy, he went on a tear and just beat everybody else and got back to him and just never get past Hopkins?
Three?
Yeah, he took a bunch of fights. It wasn't like two fights of nondescript people over in Europe, and then
dude,
you're back.
It's not
in
like
it.
It's just like these, the IBF and the WBC, like, sometimes, like,
it's weird the way they move. It doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense, but it does, though. The little part of it making sense is that these guys, you're staying in the system. Like, Karen is in the IBF system. So he stays in their rankings. He fights under their rules. He fights who they think should be next, and he stays in line, and he's a good soldier to the IBF, and he works his way back up, and he gets this shot. That's how these things work, because you'll see a guy in Chukwuemeka, Karen, he's not ranked by the WBC. He's not ranked by the other divisions. So how could one organization have you number one and then the other not have you at all? is asinine.
Oh, so I was right. I'm looking it up right now. It is Robert Allen. And there was like a million defenses between, you know, their first two fights.
It's just so freaking frustrating. And what has Boots done since the Karen first fight? He stopped David Avanesian. He stopped Roman Villa. He's only had three fights since 2023. Boots Ennis.
And it's not his fault. The guy lives in the gym. He's always in shape. He's always ready to fight.
Right. He's not the best interviewer. Like, he's not going to talk. Like, he's got Eddie doing all that.
He's not
going to
talk his way into any fights.
But the guy deserves him. And I hope he can just get this out of the way. I hope he can just give double middle fingers to the IBF and the rest of the welterweight division and go to make some fights at 154. Because he can literally, there's between Matchroom and Golden Boy, he can make so many good fights at 154. You know, I know Eddie's putting out a Ryan Garcia thing, or his Virgil Ortiz. They were supposed to fight at 147, so do it at 154. Who cares? So let's get this guy going. -600 favorite, Chris.
One of the best fighters in the world, and we don't get the same fight.
No one knows who he is. Yeah. Like, he doesn't even have any.
You mentioned how he's not a good interviewer, and I said he's not going to talk himself into any fights. So the only way to get to know him is to see him fight. And he's having trouble getting any of the other guys around his weight class to fight
him. Good.
Thus, we got Karen Chigazian.
Ugh. -600 favorite, Boots. Not a lot of value there. Other fight on this makes it kind of a cool card is Bam Rodriguez is back in the ring. He's fighting Pedro Guevara, who is a former interim titleist. Bam is that dude. And I posted his resume on Twitter. And a lot of people were chiming in saying, all right, yeah, this guy's legit. You know, this is an awesome resume to get that many scalps on your – what would you say that is? What do you put the scalps? On a stick?
On your bed frame? On your
Where do they put the scalps?
Wear them around your neck? I don't know.
He's got scalps. Bam. What does he keep?
His scalps have crowns on them. That's the crazy part. Like, he's not scalping regular guys. He's not scalping the infantrymen. He's scalping legends. He's a legend killer.
He's a legend killer. Juan Francisco Estrada was his last scalp. Rung Visai, Quadras, Sonny Edwards, who's not a legend, maybe in his own mind, but the younger.
But very, very good fighter.
Very good fighter. So I posted that, and you know, most people will say that is an awesome resume. The guy's 24 years old. But there is the typical hater boxing fans out there that were nitpicking it and saying Quadras was shot, Rung Visai shot, Sonny overrated. Mostly that he's fighting these old guys. Estrada hadn't fought in 18 months. Point being, no matter what you do in boxing, and no matter how accomplished you are, even someone like Bam, they're always going to find a reason to dim your light. And I just don't like that, Chris.
To me, it doesn't matter. Bam walks through that. You can't dim that man's light. That guy is his own light. Doesn't seem like he cares. He's a hard worker. He's a very serious young man. And listen, if you cannot acknowledge how good he is and what his run has been, then, dude, you're in the wrong sport.
Go
watch basketball.
I agree. My counter to those people out there, so I didn't really respond to too many of them, was look at how he was beating these people.
That's another thing. Granted, they're a little older, but he's like destroying them. Like, he's not even close.
Like, he's not, you know, going the distance. He's not going through split decisions.
He's not even struggling.
He's not even struggling. Like, taking these guys out in highlight reel knockouts.
He's smiling and walking with walk-off KOs. Like, come on.
I'm trying to find the odds on this one. I'll pull up a parlay at some
problem
point.
With this one, Guevara's, he's okay. He's
35.
I was going to say, he's 35 years old. He's been in tough with a lot of those names, but he loses to them. So there's not a whole lot to look for in this fight other than, you know, another highlight reel knockout for Bam.
Bam is a -2,000 favorite.
Yeah.
Under 8.5 is +100. There'll be more odds available on DraftKings as we get closer to the fight. I would take a look at maybe the stoppage and maybe parlay that with some of the other fights on there. Guevara is a guy that's been in there. He beat Andrew Maloney.
Yeah.
In his last fight. And that's the fight where Maloney went storming out of the ring and, you know,
completely cursed apeshit and quit the sport.
Yeah. that's what Pedro Guerva did in his last fight. That was on the Loma Cambosos card. In that fight, he doubled Maloney in power shots. He threw more punches. He also lost a split decision to Quadras in 2023. And we saw
Bam took on like 2 weeks' notice, jumped up two weight classes, and totally schooled him.
Yeah, so I expect this to be a Bam washout. Another stoppage will come under 8.5 rounds. That is the beauty of gambling, and that's the beauty of all that. And after this, once again on Sunday, a preview of Sunday's episode, we will be talking about what's next for Bam, because we brought up those scalps. And yeah, you can say that they're a little old, and there are a lot of fans out there that say, you can say two things can be true. Now, his resume is loaded with older fighters, and he is really good. And I also want to see him against someone in their prime. So I would agree with that. So maybe on Sunday or Monday, when we do our next episode, we'll talk about, will Bam stay at 115? Will he go to 118 for that Nakatani fight? You know, he's talking about Inoue. They're already asking him about Inoue in this pre-fight interviews for Matchroom. So that's going to be the question with Bam, because he's going to win this fight. And he's got so many prime years ahead of him. And there are some pretty big names around his general weight class.
Yeah, we're going to be dealing with this guy for a long time. You know, and there's no hesitance to fight the biggest, baddest guys around. I think that Chocolatito fight is looming. It makes sense for a lot of reasons. I mean, one, it's another one of the legends that he hasn't scalped yet. It's another payday for Chocolatito. You know, they've shared the ring together, so they understand
They're
each
friends.
Other. Yeah, so what? Let's make money together, friends.
I know Chocolatito is looking for, like, he turned down the fight with our friend Nonito.
With Nonito, because he's like, I don't want to fight an older guy. I want to fight a real guy. It's great. Not that Nonito's not real, but he's like, I'm trying to fight ranked guys. Like,
well, Nonito doesn't have a belt attached to him. That was right. That was just going to be a prize fight. That was going to be a fun attraction.
Payday
fight
between legends. That would be a payday between legends.
I was
legends.
For it.
Me too. I thought it'd be great. That'd be a lot of fun, but that's not where Chocolatito's head's at.
Right. It takes two to tango. And Chocolatito just shot it down right away and was like, no, I still look at myself
very respectfully.
Yeah, of course. The two nicest guys in the sport, like Nonito Donaire and Chocolatito, are salt of the earth type of guys. Like, I don't know who I would. I'd probably watch it like this. I'd be watching that fight. Mm-hmm. For those listening, I
watch all Chocolatito's fights like that now because I feel like he's like such an old man, but you know, he's obviously still good still. But
like, Bam, I think Bam would piece him up. I think. Father Time it's undefeated.
It'll be fun while it lasts, so put it that way.
Early rounds could be fun. Well, that's the thing with Chocolatito. It takes him a couple rounds to warm up, and then when he gets to like the third or fourth, it was just all-out onslaught. It's just beautiful. But I think Bam should win. Who else is on this card? Raymond Ford, 130-pound debut, leaving featherweight.
Fighting a ProBox TV guy.
Who's that?
He's fighting Chapo Gonzalez.
Okay. I like Ray Ford a lot. He's got the one loss to Nick Ball. Has that awesome win early in the year. He is an exciting fighter, and I'm not ready to write him off. No one should write him off.
No. He has a lot of game. He can fight on the outside. He can fight on the inside. He's got that dog in him. He can take a shot. He can give a shot. I've watched him develop because I think I've called most of his fights on the undercards of Matchroom cards. Yeah. And I even called the title winning effort for Top Rank. So I've been ringside for a lot of his fights and seen him develop. He's very, very good. Great kid too. Really, really dedicated, hard worker, talented. But he's fighting Chapo Gonzalez, who is basically how do you explain him?
I want to know where you're going to go.
Cardiac kid. It's so much fun the way like he'll be winning easily and then just turn it into a brawl for no good reason. It'll be fun.
Minus 1,000 favorite Raymond Ford. Some good names at 130.
Different class of fighters for sure.
A lot of good names at 130. Ray Ford got a little outgrew 126, so we'll be seeing that too. Ammo Williams also. On the card, trying to make his comeback. He got beat pretty bad by Shiraz in that 5-on-5. So he's going to try to rebuild. We're always going to root for him. I think he's a really fun fighter. So a pretty decent card over in Philly. That's the one cool thing about this. Philly fans Philly boxing fans are awesome. Philly
yes.
sports fans is a whole nother story. But Philly boxing fans, you're getting boots. You're getting another fight night out. Like they're excited. You know, it's not who you want in the opponent, but yeah, it's a night out. And you get to
super
see
cool
Bam
city
Rodriguez.
Too.
Oh,
great,
I love Philly.
Great foot town, great walk around town, good food, cool vibe, nice, you know, interesting people. And it's a fight town, man. So big fight history. Very,
yeah,
very
cool.
That's a cool event. Very cool.
The
event.
First one, it wasn't Karen. It was, I don't know, who did he fight in Philly the last time? But it did really good. It did good numbers.
The guy who,
Avanesian?
Josh Kelly. Avanesian, yes.
Yeah, that did numbers. And I think this one's trending pretty good. Like, you get 8,500 to 9,000, between 85
wow.
and 10,000.
Those Mexicans travel. There's going to be Mexicans in Philadelphia for Bam. Yeah, Bam Boots, BB. Double
Bam
B's.
The Boots. Better be Evan Bivol. Yeah. That is the card over there. Let's get into the top rank one, which I think will be the best fight of the weekend. Keyshawn Davis is fighting Gustavo Limos.
Whoa.
Yeah. Exactly. Whoa is right. Keyshawn Davis coming off of that stoppage win over Pedraza, and then he had another fight in there with Maduero, which was a little tricky for him. He's ranked top
Madueño.
Three. Yeah, that's what I meant. He's ranked top three, Keyshawn, third by the WBO, WBC. He's in line. He's ready. He's 25 years old. He's top ranked next big thing. I like this fight. Gustavo Limos is tough, man. Like, this guy took Hitchens to the deep end.
To the brink of hell.
Yeah, I mean, he had a 10-fight KO streak before the Hitchens loss, and where most of the fights ended before the fifth round. This guy's good. The only thing, Chris, I will say, is that Limos, this fight's at 135, and five of his last six fights were closer to 140 than to 135.
Yeah, but he's small. Have you seen the photos? I'm surprised.
He's small.
Like, he moved,
he's only 28.
He moved it down a weight class, and he looks even smaller than Keyshawn. He gave Hitchens hell that night. He's very talented. I was surprised that Top Rank was doing this. We talked to our guy Carl Moretti, and he goes, "Yo, he asked for it, Keyshawn." That is, like, I'm like, that's a hell of a fight, man. He goes, "Yeah, sure is." I'm like, "That guy is badass." He goes, "Yeah, he sure is." And I go, "What are you doing? You guys are making him put him to the floor." He goes, "No, he wanted it. This is what he asked for." He said, "If I'm going to be a world champion, I got to get past a guy like this. So give him to me now." Man, I love that. Man, I love that. Keyshawn is getting points for that right there. So good on him, man.
This is closer odds, minus 600 favorite Davis. Gustavo Limos, a live dog at plus 425.
I think it should be closer than that.
Yeah, I just think they're really giving Keyshawn a lot of credit here. That Pedraza stoppage, I understand Pedraza's up there in age. I've seen him a bunch in Orlando at some of these MVP cards. But he's never been stopped. And Keyshawn...
No, tanked it at 130.
What was it then? He hadn't stopped since then? That was no one thought Keyshawn was going to be able to stop Pedraza. No one thought it was going to be a tougher fight. And that really opened up my eyes.
Keyshawn's not a puncher like that. But what you got to take into consideration that... Pedraza, that was his first fight at 35 in a number of years, and to do it at the age of 35, he just looked so weak that night.
Right.
I think everyone understood that.
That's why I picked Davis by stoppage.
He just got broken down.
I picked Davis by stoppage, and it was one of my wins of this year. But that win opened my eyes a little bit. He was coming off of that that Albright fight where he got suspended for the weed and all that.
He got clocked late and then kind of avoided
right.
contact
so was,
for the rest of the fight.
Right, so there were some questions about Keyshawn. That Pedraza win really opened my eyes. And he beats Limos, then now we're talking title shot. Now we're talking Dennis Baranchik, who's the WBO champ. Tank.
Oh, no, Morataya.
Morataya is right above or right below Keyshawn in the rankings. Will they match those two off?
I think one of them is going to get Baranchik first,
Keyshawn.
and then the winner gets to fight they match him up then. Because then, if you're going to risk two guys like that in your stable, you might as well be in a title fight.
Yeah, I agree. Keyshawn's going to get that shot. Like, he's the one that they're building around. He's the
one.
You
think so? You don't think Martai is going to get it first?
if we're going, what are we going off of? Merit? Are we going off of marketability? Are we going off of favoritism?
Experience?
Because are we going off of investment? Because the investment is in Keyshawn Davis. The marketability is
it
in
though?
Keyshawn
a lot
Davis.
More, a lot more fights on Muay Thai.
Yeah, but Keyshawn's fighting at home. This is like this is first main event. They're putting it in Virginia.
His whole family's on the card.
Whole family, the whole damn cousins, uncles,
the whole clan is there.
I met them. I met them when he first went pro. I did an interview with him. And
they're great.
They're awesome. They're such good
kids. Really,
and
really good family, man.
The businessman.
They're fun, man. They're good people.
Yeah, I think he's a good kid. But like, yeah, I they're investing in Keyshawn. This is a hometown main event. Like they haven't been to Virginia, Norfolk, Virginia. I just saw Aram has never been there. This is Aram is literally going somewhere for the first time in his 92 years on this earth. But it's just interesting because I thought maybe he would have made it there for a Whitaker fight, but I guess not. I don't know how many fights that Whitaker had in Norfolk.
Not many,
apparently. But I think Keyshawn will get that title shot first over Murataya, who I believe Murataya might be ahead of Keyshawn in development, but he's behind in the other aspects, like the marketability and the what Top Rank is trying to do. At least
also,
that's what I think.
It might just fall on timing because Murataya fought 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Looked awesome. Had a very easy fight. And Keyshawn's got a fight this weekend, a couple weeks later, and it's probably going to be a tough fight. So Murataya just might be available sooner.
Let's see what he did in that fight against Hitchens, Lemos. I know that he pumped that jab, and I know that he threw a lot of power shots. Hitchens only outlanded Lemos by 10 punches over 12 rounds, which is pretty much nothing. It was the power department. Lemos doubled up Hitchens in power landed. As we know with Hitchens, his game is jabs. He landed 100 jabs, Hitchens. Lemos landed 22 jabs. He threw 100. And 50 more jabs, Hitchens. So Lemos is going to bring power. He's going to bring aggression. You're right. Yes, he's going to bring aggression to our guy, Keyshawn. We'll see how Keyshawn handles it. There's a lot of things here, man. This is his first main event. It's in his hometown, 25 years old. It's a lot of pressure, man, and Lemos. So I love what he said to Carl Moretti. I love what he said to the media. Like, he's going for it right now. Like, this will make Keyshawn Davis a better fighter. This will make him get ready for a title shot. Like, that's beautiful. I think Top Rank is doing a great job here.
That's exactly what he said. He goes, if I'm going to be a champion, I need to beat a guy like this. I need to do it now. Spot on. This young man understands the business. You know, that's his nickname, right? Businessman or business?
The businessman, which I think is a horrible
nickname. You think it's a horrible nickname?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I love it.
I love it. What does that mean? Are you a boxer or a businessman?
No, he's the businessman because he's got his 3B with his brothers and
I get
all
it
about business and obviously he understands the sport with the way he's moving. Now he's just got to back it up. He's got a tough fight in front of him.
Can't wait. That's the main event Friday night, which is great for boxing fans. Friday night, Top Rank. Saturday night, The Zone Matchroom. Also on this Top Rank card is Abdullah Mason. He's back. 135 prodigy is fighting Johan Vasquez in a scheduled 8 rounds. We really like Abdullah Mason. I'd be Everyone curious does. To see, is that going to be on regular ESPN? Or I think they put him on regular ESPN last time, like as the first fight. Or you're going to have to catch up on the plus. Either way, you're going to see highlights. Either way, he's going to stop this guy. And
Best young fighter in the world today. No question.
I agree. Better than any prospect out there, huh? 20 years old.
He is the best prospect in the world.
Future. 20 years old. Abdullah Mason. All right. We'll be back in your life on Monday with a recap episode of this weekend. Hope everyone has a phenomenal weekend watching boxing, enjoying their lives. Enjoy your life, Chris.
I am. I do.
Enjoy it. Goodbye, everybody.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway, wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.